This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, created by Tristan Taramino. I am senior producer Raymond Johnson, who's filling in for her today. Tristan is currently down in New Orleans. You probably know that if you've been following her on Instagram and Twitter. And she had plans to host live this week from Crescent City, but ran into some technical stuff. And so it just seemed easier that I just gladly stepped in. I had a great time a couple weeks ago when I talked to Alice Little from the Bunny Ranch. So I just agreed to help pitch it again. She's busy doing her sold-out workshop on decolonizing sexuality, so I'm sure she'll report back on that when she's back next week. So before I get started, I wanted to remind you listeners that Sex Out Loud is part of Pleasure Podcasts. It's a network of sex podcasts, and the network is doing a large survey right now to find out more about you. Yes, you. Seriously, you're the one we need to hear from. We want to know who you are, what you dig, what you want, all that. So there are two different incentives to complete the survey. So if you do the survey for us, one, you'll be entered to win $300 in toys, lube, and accessories from Babeland. And that's alongside with everyone who takes the survey. But if you're a Sex Out Loud fan, you take the survey, you'll also be entered to win a prize package worth $375 just among Sex Out Loud listeners. So you got a little better odds. So there's two prize packages you could win. You'd get an autographed copy of Opening Up, an autographed copy of 50 Shades of Kink, a Wee Vibe Wish Vibrator, an autographed set of four of Tristan's Sex Ed DVDs, Blush Novelties, Dildo and Prostate Stimulator, Pink Silicone Lubricant. So this is a really great, fun prize package. These prizes may come directly out of Tristan's house. I mean, probably like the storage closet of her home office, but still, you'd be getting a pretty cool thing. So the link for that is tinyurl.com/SOLPP, like SOL Sex Out Loud and then Pleasure Podcast. We're also been tweeting the link out on Tristan's account and the Sex Out Loud radio account, so you can find the link there if you're not so good at typing out URLs that you're here read aloud on podcast. So speaking of a glorious basket of fun sex toys, my guest today is someone who is actually in the sex toy industry. Alex Fine is the CEO and founder of Dame Toys. Dame Toys was founded by an MIT-educated engineer, Janet Lieberman and Fine. Dame relies on scientific research and consumer feedback to create well-engineered and innovative sex toys. You may remember seeing some of their toys on some crowdsourcing campaigns that have circulated the past couple of years. They've been breaking records, kicking in doors as entrepreneurs, and I'm so excited to chat with them tonight. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Alex Fine. Or shall I call you Al this evening? I
think I'll call you Al this
evening. I will call you Al this evening. So you're not the MIT educated engineer of the pair. You're the sex expert part of the team, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's funny. I went to WashU in St. Louis for undergraduate, and then went to Columbia University for grad school. And I think that those are like pretty good schools. But, you know, it's the first relationship where I'm the dumb one. It's, it's something, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm not that one. But Janet, my co-founder, she's an engineer, and really loves consumer electronics and had a passion for, creating these toys at the same standard that other products are made. And then my path comes way more from sex education. I got my master's in clinical psychology at Columbia, and I was really interested and passionate about having conversations around sex and empowering predominantly women to own and love their sexuality.
What inspired you even to go to Columbia? Like, where, like before that, what was kind of your, what were your sex ed experiences sort of like as an adolescent in college days?
You know what? Mine started before my adolescence. When I was six years old, my aunt brought me to a party where there were drag queens and people who identified at the time as transsexuals and transgender people. And the drag queens, I was like, oh my God, you're like fairy princesses and I'm in love with you because I'm six. And they loved me. And I got to ask them all the questions that, you know, there's something so unpresumptuous about being a child that's like, my mind was blown. I was like, oh my God, I don't really need to be anything and I can play however I want and identify maybe however I want. And I brought that back to my show and tell class and I explained the difference and I got in trouble. I called my mom and my mom was mad at my aunt and it really kind of sparked this interest in me. It was another thing that sparked an interest in me in talking about sex and gender. And I was fascinated by this truth that seemed to bring people pleasure that was shut down for no apparent reason.
Right. Well, and also that you had this example of like these drag queens and these people at this party who were being so open. So they were able to model something. Like I think about that in my experience, I didn't really have anyone to like model a different way of being it. You know what I mean? As far as talking about sex, like you just had the talk and it just happened once. Yeah. Right. Do you feel like that there's still sort of, where do you feel like culturally speaking, like when you talk to like people, where are we sort of at as far as like where their sex ed comes from? Because I feel like on one hand, like I'm like Gen X, I'm like young Gen X. And so we sort of had that sort of like, you have one talk in like fifth grade health class, but then some of the younger folks come up through like abstinence only sex ed education. So that's also sort of informed some of their practices. I don't know if that's, you have any experience with that as you've moved through school.
Oh my God. So funny. I'm 30. So I'm like squarely a millennial.
Right.
And I'm from New York, so I'm from a pretty like liberal upbringing. My parents always, you know, they didn't talk that much about sex, but I was never given the impression that sex was bad from them. Which I think is, you know, was a real blessing. Yeah. I did though get slut shamed. I mean, also, not only was I slut shamed in my adolescence, but when I was in first grade, like even from a really young age, I like attention. I'm kind of bossy. I totally believed what my mom was telling me, which was like, I was the smartest and greatest person ever. And I don't know. I was just, my first grade principal told my mom I was the class seductress.
Oh my God.
So, and my mom was really offended, but looking back, I think I kind of was. I was kind of like manipulative and like experimenting with like.
Right, but I feel like maybe he should have busted out the thesaurus and found a different word. You know what I'm saying? Well, like it's still kind of weirdly
sexualized. First of all, and also like, one of my best friends recently saw all these pictures of me when I was modeling when I was six. And she was like, these are really sexual. Like, you seem really sexual. And I don't know if she was saying that because, like, she knows me now. Right. But I think I was drawn in by the power of female sexuality that I was seeing in pop culture. Yeah. I do think that, like, I wanted attention and, like, sexy ladies get attention. And, like, that's, like, what I want, you know.
Right. Right. Well, it reminds me of like the the Dolly Parton quote about how she, you know, when she was a kid, she loved how the town slut looked, and that's how she wanted to dress and model, and like she was drawn into that, even if she wasn't aware of what even the town slut was at the time of six or whatever, right?
Yeah. I think that there's something, you know, there's really something about pageantry. So fun, huh? I'm kind of a tomboy, personally. It took me a long time to like, come to terms with my, that. I, too, love glitter.
Your research in when you got your master's degree in Columbia? And did you ever think you were going to go into clinical practice? Or, like, what was that transition from starting off thinking sex therapist to entrepreneur?
So I think I was just continuously passionate about talking about sex. It gave me joy. I could tell people seemed really drawn to the conversation. And I definitely thought that, like, I didn't know how else to validate my interest in this topic except to become a sex therapist. I wasn't sure I what else I could do. I actually think I'm in my journal, like junior year of college, I wrote down like sex therapist, professor, vibrator maker. I remember thinking, well, I have no idea how to get to vibrator maker, or like I'm in school, psychology. I remember people telling you it'd be a good mom job, which I don't know, people said that, but they did. Right. And then I got my master's and started to realize a lot of things. I just don't think that I don't think the mental health field got it all figured out, but turns out I don't think any field got it all figured out. But 2 years in, I got my master's and I was just feeling like, people are moving forward. People are making impact in the world. And I'm like in a library. It just felt so far away from getting to starting to work with people. And I had also worked at Planned Parenthood and done some of that kind of education where I was doing some counseling work. And I looked back on that and loved it. But I'm really just overall impatient and I'm not a great listener.
It's good to realize where our talents are, right? You know,
I always make that joke. And I do feel, you know, I do kind of, sometimes I think about it still and I'm like, oh, I'm putting myself down. Like, I would have loved to have been a therapist. I think that healing work is really beautiful. And I love getting people to work together. Like, I love, like, seeing group dynamics play out and trying to manipulate those dynamics so people see each other as clearly as possible. And like we move forward to like the goal we all agree on. So, I mean, that turns out to be really helpful as like a entrepreneur as well. But I think I do think it would be cool to be a therapist. It would also be cool to be a doctor, but like that school just seems like too much work.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to hold a heart in my hand. That seems pretty cool to me.
It does. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get to come back, we're going to pick back up and talk about how what you are doing now in making sex toys. So hang on, and we'll be back after the break.
This month, the Pleasure Chest is featuring some great classes in their free weekly workshop program, Pleasure Ed. If you're in LA, you can check out Trans Support and Restore Yoga, their famous Squirt Shop, and Sex and Senses, an interactive event with LaWand Massager. Chicago will be hosting a Transsexuality 101 class and Head of the Class, Blowjobs 201. New York is featuring two hand skills class with Panic at the Crisco, Fisting Basic, and XX Extra Stuffing, Hand Sex, at the end of the month. Do you need to save on holiday gifts? Keep an eye out for the biggest, sexiest sale of the year starting November 22nd to get 20 to 25% off all products site-wide, plus free shipping. And Fun Factory is going to be hosting a pop-up in LA starting on November 14th. If you're not able to make it to a Pleasure Chest store, use the coupon code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com and you'll get a free gift. everyone. As you know, anal pleasure holds a spot near and dear to my heart. So let's consider how we're treating our ass across the board, especially when it comes to cleaning it. If you're using dry toilet paper or wet wipes, you're doing it wrong. Switch to Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that cleans all the crap off your butt. It easily attaches to any standard toilet in under 10 minutes and provides a precise stream straight to your butthole. Using a Tushy bidet pre-anal play is nice, and of course, after sex to clean up. Go into every experience feeling fresh and confident, and then wipe it all away at the end. I love the Tushy because it's also affordable. It only starts at $69, everyone's favorite number. So do your ass a favor and wash with Tushy. Go to hellotushy.com and get 10% off your order with the promo code SEXOUTLOUD. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy.
Hi, everyone. We're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. My name is Raymond. I'm your host for today, filling in for Tristan, who is in New Orleans right this very second. I'm talking to Al Fine of Dame Toys. Before the break, we were talking about you got your master's, you were considering becoming a sex therapist, but then you wanted to be out in the world. So how did you, let's talk about where you met your colleague, Janet Lieberman, and how you got into starting your own business.
Yeah. So the universe really pushed us together. I was working at a small consumer goods shop. At the time, I was selling all natural shampoo to Whole Foods and all around the U.S. And I started working on some vibrator ideas at home, making them in the kitchen.
How do you make a vibrator in the kitchen?
Vibrators. Yeah. So what I did is I bought some other vibrators that had really small motors and took those apart. And then I went to an art supply store and got these plastic beads that are moldable. And I was molding it into different shapes around the motor form to create very scary looking vibrators. And I would then have my friends come over and try out for me and let me see if it was working. Because the vibrator I was trying to create eventually became our first vibrator, Eva, and it's a hands-free vibrator designed to nestle in the labia. So you can wear it while you're pivving, which is penis in the vulva, or any kind of penetration in the vulva. It can be worn without obstructing the vagina opening.
So you were making vibrators in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So what was Janet also making vibrators in their kitchen?
So Janet actually knows how to make things. So that's what I was doing. Janet was making things at this company called MakerBot. She was making 3D printers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, and then she just realized that she was a consumer of this whole category of products that she expected less from for like no good reason and really wanted to make it, you know, a better line of products. Mm-hmm. So we were going to like the same meetups, but at different times and different months. And she had gone to one where a few people had been like, oh, I met your co-founder last month, or, oh, my roommate met you last month. And she was like, who is this other person? She figured out who I was. She emailed me, got brunch, and we got business married or business engaged on the first date.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a very, very lucky and wise and, you know, synchronicity, I think, or synchronicity. I don't know what the right word would be, but I feel really blessed. And then we launched on Indiegogo a few months later, And we raised $575,000 in 45 days to really bring this product to market. It was about 6,000 pre-orders. And I think that really spoke to the desire for products that can provide clitoral stimulation, that consider a partner, that are designed with like a partner in mind. So that's what our first two products were.
Right. Well, I like this idea that you're really interested in the communication and in sort of connection and talking about sex, and so then your sex toys sort of have that element as well. So, like, for you, what's your sort of vision of how sex toys can be used as a tool for communication for couples, or, you know, I mean that in the loosest sense, like a couple for a night or a couple forever.
Totally. Yeah. Well, one, we made a brand new toy that's actually designed for solo play. So we are expanding beyond just interpersonal products. But I do think that products really, you can't, when you're bringing out a toy into the bedroom, there is a conversation that is had, and it could be had in a wide array of ways. Usually it ends up with the vulva owner having a really pleasurable experience, the partner witnessing it, and then thinking to themselves, why haven't we been using vibrators this whole time? Like, you love it this much, and I love you, and we love this together. It's fantastic. So I think it ultimately does lead to a conversation, and it usually often starts with a verbal conversation too.
Do people ask you a lot, like, how do I introduce the topic? What are some of your favorite tips that you give folks for sort of introducing that?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of ways to go about it. I think just boldly stating that you're going to use your vibrator, or is it okay? Like, I'd like to take out my vibrator. Just to state it, because it's normal and it's totally fine, and to own it.
I always tell people, like, to practice, like, I think we practice it in our head, but you really have to practice it out loud.
I think that's true for so many things.
Totally. Yeah. So I think sometimes it is good to sort of, it also makes me think of, I don't know if you ever watched The Comeback with Valerie Cherish when she's like running lines, but I always feel like you're going to try out, like, I'm going to use my vibrator, or I like to use my vibrator. Like,
yeah. Staying in the mirror.
Exactly. Totally.
Keep going.
See
how it goes.
Yeah. I also just really like that when I was looking into some of your new materials and what's going on with Dame and stuff, I noticed that you also have been doing a lot of educational stuff and have this tagline that masturbation is wellness. And I really like that. I really like that you're sort of talking about sexual health in that way, about and how masturbation is part of that. Can you talk a little bit more about that campaign and what that means to you with the model?
Yes. I mean, I think that, during my time in Colombia, I really started to learn a lot about mindfulness practices and meditation. And I remember being really struck by the similarities between what I was learning about meditation and like sensate focus, which is what I was learning about in therapy. Sensate is a common embodied practice that partners just essentially touch each other slowly and communicate about that sensation. And I was struck by the similarities of just getting people to sit down, breathe, slow time down, and just like notice experiences. I think that there's something about sex and masturbation. It's not something. It's that it's embodied. That makes it this very sort of, I like to think of it as like our, it's like the training wheels for meditation. It's pretty much the closest you're naturally going to get unless somebody suggests that you sit down and not do anything for a little bit.
Right.
I think you have to kind of calm your mind and be present and feel your body. And I think that knowing your body, that translates. That quiet time, that understanding yourself, that translates to beyond that experience. I think it helps us feel truly connected and aligned.
Yeah. And just to reconnect with ourselves, as you know, that's as much of the part as also, and then when we can connect with ourselves, we can make that connection to other people versus it being about like kind of two people doing something in the room at each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that there's something, I think when we first start having sex, it's really performative, and we don't know what we're doing, so we kind of perform what we think sex is supposed to be like. And in some ways, it's kind of fun because performance is really playful, or it can be if the performance works for you, if
right.
you like the performance that society is like laying out. And then, or at least this is my experience, as I got rid of that and started to really discover what I like, it kind of became harder. And then it's about reconnecting with your body and the playfulness and really being present. And I don't know, kind of like what you were saying before, just about connecting with your partner and just being there.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about that. Like when I think about my sex in my 20s, and then I feel like my 30s was sort of about metabolizing those experiences. And now I'm at the beginning of my 40s. I'm ready to sort of take like the things I learned from those experiences along with the things I learned from the internal work and sort of see what comes from that, you know.
Do you feel like, I mean, I would say that I've had so much growth for me has come probably from my experiences of running a business. It's really, really powerful. But sex, like figuring out why I like something or don't like something and why did that bother me so much, or I don't know. Or I didn't like that experience, and going through experiences that I didn't like and getting better at practicing saying things like, no, stop, this makes me uncomfortable.
Right. And I think being able to have those conversations about like, hey, all these things worked, but then this one thing didn't, or this one thing to be tweaked, and to be able to like have a space where you can hear that and receive that and get better. You know what I mean? And also not.
I would also suggest not saying it during sex. It's never worked out for me too. Like,
no, I sort of mean like the like after, yes, after everyone is like glowed out or whatever, then you might be like, let's recap. Or maybe just the next morning over breakfast. You know, it doesn't have to be right away. For sure. Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna take another little quick break. And then when we get back, we might talk a little bit more about masturbation. We're gonna talk a little bit more about I wanna talk to you a little bit about the pleasure, the pleasure gap index and things like that. So, all right, so stay tuned and we'll have more Sex Out Loud Radio very soon.
Hi everyone, we're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Everyone, as you know, anal pleasure holds a spot near and dear to my heart. So let's consider how we're treating our ass across the board, especially when it comes to cleaning it. If you're using dry toilet paper or wet wipes, you're doing it wrong. Switch to Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that cleans all the crap off your butt. It easily attaches to any standard toilet in under 10 minutes and provides a precise stream straight to your butthole. Using a Tushy bidet pre-anal play is nice, and of course, after sex to clean up. Go into every experience feeling fresh and confident, and then wipe it all away at the end. I love the Tushy because it's also affordable. It only starts at $69, everyone's favorite number. So do your ass a favor and wash with Tushy. Go to hellotushy.com and get 10% off your order with the promo code SEXOUTLOUD. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. Sex Out Loud is supported by the amazing store, The Pleasure Chest. You may know of them from their locations in New York, Chicago, and L.A., where they hold amazing free workshops you can go in person. Coming up in L.A. on December 5th is Strap-On Sex for Queers, and on December 6th, it's Pornaments, Naughty Ceramic Ornament Building Workshop. The New York City location on December 5th is having Holy Trinity Threesomes at Upper East Side Store, and on December 6th, Seasons Beatings Impact Play 101 at West Village location. And the Chicago location workshops on December 2nd, they're doing Down and Dirty for the Holidays. And on December 5th, Talk to Me, Role Play and Fantasy in the Bedroom. So that would be, if you're in Chicago, that's a great place to start practicing how to talk about sex toys is in the Talk Dirty to Me workshop. Today I'm talking to Alex Fine, a CEO of Dame Products and sex toy entrepreneur. So you're in the sex toy industry now. You're on your third product now. You've expanded. What has sort of surprised you about being in this line of work and moving in this sphere?
What I've really learned is that we don't value our sexual wellness sometimes, or I think collectively where people are so excited to be given the opportunity to care. But, you know, I don't know. That's been a really big learning. But we have so many restrictions and things against us. You know, there's a lot of...
Yeah, I was going to ask, what challenges do you feel like your startup has that other entrepreneurs might not?
You know, it's definitely advertising restrictions. I think that it's, you know, hard to be a woman in business, you know, period still. And I think it's harder to be a woman that's talking very explicitly about sex. I think Me Too has mostly had a really, really powerful benefit for my business. I think people are like, yes, we do need to talk about sex. Like, what we're not talking about is hurting us just as much as what we could be talking about.
Right.
And we need to have these conversations.
Right.
But then also on the flip side, I think sometimes some men, though not most in my experience, feel even more uncomfortable talking to me about sex in a, you know, especially in a one-on-one meeting. That's confusing to them.
Right. Because there's an education gap. Do you know what I mean? Like they know that they're not supposed to do certain things, but I think that we haven't replaced that with anything. You know,
it's because you know what? And the problem is that we're just not talking about it.
Right.
We're just not, you know, like I think, and the people who want to champion these messages, the educators and therapists and brands who really care about, you know, pushing this conversation in a positive way where people want to keep on having sex and enjoying it, are being censored. Or, you know, I don't know what it's like for you guys, but, you know, there's definitely additional challenges for getting our messaging out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're lucky that obviously Voice America has loved us for many years, and so we can say whatever we want on the air, but we can't, you know, put like, but our Facebook ads might not, you know what I mean? We might post links
right
to the show or things like that, you know. I don't know, and Twitter has been sort of hit and miss and things like that too, but I do, you know, I definitely have, you know, so we've seen that a little bit on our side as well.
Yeah. And that's why, so it's like a double-sided sword. It's like we think that having a conversation is going to hurt us, but really not having the conversation hurts us too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I think a lot of people ask me all the time, you know, I do like to think that we're really redefining this category, helping people see it in a different light. But often people will say like, oh, you're, you know, rebranding sex toys or like sexual, so it's sexual wellness now. And it's like, no. Our sexual identities have always been a part of our wellness, like
right,
especially collectively. And I'm just trying to heal us. Like, I'm not rebranding
right
it.
Right.
I'm like, just trying to help, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the pleasure gap. One study that I point to all the time is that women were four times more likely to report that sex had been not at all pleasurable in the past year than men. There's an orgasm frequency, gap too. There's all these things that are different studies that ultimately paint the picture that, women are not having as much sexual fulfillment as men. And we really want, we want everybody to have more sexual fulfillment, but women really benefit from, or people with vulvas, even though it is generally heterosexual cis women.
Who are not having as much pleasure orgasms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the tools are the only things that we need in order to fix those.
Right. It's not that you're trying to like upsell people on like, you don't have to talk about anything, just insert my toy. You're talking about the conversation as well. Yeah.
Right. And we hope that we can do more of all of that too.
How would you sort of describe your market demographic age-wise? I'm sort of curious. Obviously, you're mostly probably people with vulvas are buying your products, or partners of people with vulvas buying them. But I was just curious, like, sort of age and even where in the country or things like that.
Yeah, so I would say that was probably accurate. but it is about 30% partners. Mm-hmm. And by partners, I'm looking at Google Analytics, and it's just telling Google Analytics's assumption of gender or sex. So, it's just 30% are male, and there's probably other partners in there too. Right. But we are often branded or explained as like this millennial brand, but we actually sell very well to 35 to 55. Mm-hmm. We sell, well to the millennials too. But I think our bread and butter is really there for a lot of reasons.
So you did mention that it's hard to sort of sometimes, it can be a challenge to be an entrepreneur in the industry, but what keeps you motivated, and who are there other inventors or companies that you sort of keep your eye on as a model or who inspire you?
I was listening to one of the shows earlier, and Tristan was talking about how, all life is, challenging too. So it's like, I feel like what, gets me up in the morning is I do feel like I'm doing something that I'm really proud of. And, and I guess, honestly, a lot of the challenges are what keeps me going and driven, the way I feel like this society is trying to keep us down, and we can't do these advertisements, and this is important. And, all of that also really keeps me going and drives me and makes me want to fight for what we're doing. So it's that. And then what was like the second part of the question?
I was just wondering if there were like other companies that you sort of have inspired you or inventors, or things. That was it. But
there's so many. It's like hard to. Yeah,
no, it's all right. Yeah. But you also, that's a great answer to the question. And it's also nice because I think a lot of people are feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the challenges. But it's a nice reminder that when we are in a good space with ourselves and taking care of ourselves, and that we are full, then we usually do like challenges, and we do like problems to solve. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's about feeling like your needs are being met. And there's so many ways to solve problems.
Right.
And I think also accepting that and not taking people down. Let's just lift each other up.
Right. Rebuilding community, I think, and like with genuine connection. I think so much of that's what sort of makes me sad about like thinking about the internet 12 years ago and how there was a lot of community on the internet, and there still is, but there's just so many ads that are saturating the experience, getting back to some of those, like, how do we still find ways to connect while using these tools? I'm not someone who's like, oh, forget the internet. Like, I love the internet, but also, you know, trying to make it work for us and not against us.
I think
us.
Like the internet is just like any other tool, like a vibrator, you know, it has the power to bring us together and has the power to push us apart. You know, it's more about like how we engineer it and what we want to do with these products. I don't know. Yeah, I get the weirdest questions about that, or like concerns. They're like, oh, you make a vibrator. Aren't you concerned about X? Like women getting addicted to it, or men becoming obsolete, or something like that. Or like, concerned with doing it the natural way. And I'm always like, oh, we don't ask these questions about any other product. We're not like,
right.
Oh,
and it's like someone's like wearing glasses while asking you these questions. And you're like, well,
exactly.
right. All right. So we're going to take one last break. And then when we come back, I'm going to chat a little bit more. I'm going to play a little game, I think, with Alfheim. We're going to play a little game of overrated, underrated. All right. So stay tuned.
Everyone, as you know, anal pleasure holds a spot near and dear to my heart. So let's consider how we're treating our ass across the board, especially when it comes to cleaning it. If you're using dry toilet paper or wet wipes, you're doing it wrong. Switch to Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that cleans all the crap off your butt. It easily attaches to any standard toilet in under 10 minutes and provides a precise stream straight to your butthole. Using a Tushy bidet pre-anal play is nice, and of course, after sex to clean up. Go into every experience feeling fresh and confident, and then wipe it all away at the end. I love the Tushy because it's also affordable. It only starts at $69, everyone's favorite number. So do your ass a favor and wash with Tushy. Go to hellotushy.com and get 10% off your order with the promo code SEXOUTLOUD. Stop wiping and start washing with Tushy. The Pleasure Chest has all the goods to get and keep you warm and fuzzy this fall. Fall in lust with some cozy cuffs, warming lube, or just up your cosplay with their large selection of lingerie and costumes, right in time for Halloween. Select styles of Halloween apparel, accessories, and lingerie are also 50 to 70% off through October. You're not going to get that deal at other places. And don't forget to get your ass to class for their free weekly workshop series in LA, New York, and Chicago. This month, they're featuring role play, cosplay, and costumery, the OMG spot, and creating meaningful dom-sub dynamics, a three-part series on creating consent-based erotic dynamics. All workshop attendees always receive 15% off their in-store purchases. Plus, bonus, have you heard of the new biofeedback vibrator, Lioness? Lioness has landed and will be presenting Artgasm, an interactive art show featuring orgasm patterns submitted by Lioness vibrator users. It's happening in all the Pleasure Chest locations. If you're not able to make it out to a store, you can always use the coupon code Tristan at checkout on pleasurechest.com for a free massage candle.
Hi everyone, we're Emma and Finn, the hosts of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast. Each Wednesday, we interview people from across the spectrum of non-monogamy to hear and learn from their stories.
So far, we've interviewed a wide variety of guests covering swinging, polyamory, kink, cuckolding, and much more.
Even with all of these guests, we know that there are so many different dynamics and stories to tell that we've only scratched the surface.
So we'd love to have you stop by and give Normalizing Non-Monogamy a listen, and maybe even share your story someday.
Stimulating talk. It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast. All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. I'm your host today, senior producer Raymond Johnson, filling in for Tristan Taramino. And I totally forgot. I know I've mentioned that she was in New Orleans, but she did send, she recorded something this week that she wanted me to play for us. So we're going to listen to that right now.
Hi, Tristan here. You know, I admit it, I'm kind of a slacker when it comes to vitamins. I know I need them, I know they're good for me, but I'm not good about taking them. So I was really psyched when I heard about this company, Care Of. First, it's so easy. I went online and took a short quiz. Not only does it ask you about diet and exercise, but it also makes room for your goals. It doesn't assume what you want or need. For me, I'm at a very high risk for osteoporosis, but if you looked at my general health record, you probably wouldn't know that. So I'm glad there's room for me to say, hey, this is a goal of mine. After the quiz, then Care Of designs a plan and you approve it, and they send you a month's worth of vitamins. It comes in these daily little packets with your name on them, which I love because then I don't have to like sort pills and go through all of that. I just throw them in my purse. I can also track my progress on their app. You know I'm gonna give you a deal. So you can get 25% off your first month of personalized vitamins by going to takecareof.com and entering promo code Tristan. This really is a good company. They actually provide research on their vitamins and supplements, and they donate money to the Good Plus Foundation, which provides pregnant women in need with prenatal vitamins. More and more, it's really important for me that I give my money to businesses that are owned independently by people of color and companies who give back to communities. So if you want to get that 25% off your first month of personalized vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code Tristan.
All right. Thank you, voice of Tristan from the past. You know you've reached a certain level when they like name coupon codes after you. It's kind of like getting a sandwich named after you at the deli. But so if you want to get 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Tristan. All right, so I've been talking to Alfine, who's a sex toy entrepreneur, sexual expert, and I had all these questions that, but I'm gonna sort of play a little game because I think it'll be fun. Maybe I was just watching too many Vox videos, but I want to play a little game of overrated, underrated. So I'm gonna say a couple things, and I'll give you a topic, and then I want to hear your opinion about whether you think it's overrated or underrated, and explain why. And I can give my answer too if you don't want to feel too lonely, whatever it is. So, all right. So the first thing is overrated or underrated? Simultaneous orgasms.
Overrated.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, if they happen, so that's high. Cool, right? But is I want to focus on you, and then you focus on me. And if it happens simultaneously, then it happens. But yeah.
I mean, I think that also, if you think about how high, like every movie, it happens. Like that's like thinking about how we think about what sex is supposed to look like and what it means. I feel like we think that that's a necessary part sometimes. And it's obviously not.
Right.
And
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Overrated, underrated, magic wand vibrator.
Oh, personally, it's really overrated, but that's not what I hear from the world.
Right. So, I think it's overrated as being the gold standard of vibrators, right? But yeah. I think it's underrated as a health device, because I gotta say, I love the two functions, because one function is great for getting me off, but then the other setting is great for migraine headaches and weird like pressure points. So I feel like so it's underrated for its other uses. that makes me think about the rabbit vibrator. I feel like that one was definitely overrated too.
That was definitely overrated. Okay. I mean, that was definitely overrated. Like for me, the wand is just a lot. It doesn't have a low enough setting for me.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Overrated, underrated, Tinder.
I think it's underrated, but for this like very secret reason that no one else knows about. But it was probably I'm gonna share it. Which is, one time I was my husband and I, we weren't married yet. We were going through a real rough patch, and I went on Tinder, and it made me realize how good I have it. Overwhelming. And so that was nice.
Right.
But I do think, I do think online dating is amazing. Like, it's really changed the world. And I think, again, like, just like any technology, it really could be a major benefit. But I don't know if that's how it's working out.
Right. All right. Overrated, underrated, fingering / manual stimulation, if you prefer that.
I think it's underrated. I love it.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. Last overrated, underrated. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande.
I don't even think I can name the song that she sings.
So you probably vote with overrated?
I get, yeah, yes. But then, like, there was so much talk about how she, like, broke up the engagement and all that stuff that, like, I was, like, starting to know information, and I definitely had that feeling of, like, why do I know this?
Like, right. Yeah. Yeah, for a long time, I just was like, oh, that girl with that ponytail on top. But then mm-hmm. I think there was something I saw that I was like, oh, she can actually kind of sing. So I'm sort of, I'm intrigued to see where she goes if she lasts. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I think she'll probably be around a while, but, you know. Yeah. So
I wish her the best.
Okay, before we go, I do want to cover one last thing. I noticed that you now have Dame Labs set up.
Yes.
So you are really into toy testing and testing toys. Will you talk about that real quick?
Yeah, so, I mean, we think that in order to make the best products, we need to work with human beings. So we've always kind of had product testing as core to our product development. We prototype in-house, and we just wanted to really expand that. So we have Dame Labs, you know, dameproducts.com/labs, and you can sign up to be a part of our community and answer surveys. And sometimes we need testers, sometimes we have events. It's like a little community of people who are more willing to share about their sexual experiences.
Yeah. I think probably there's probably a lot of people listening right now who would maybe be intrigued in helping you out with that and offering feedback. So that'll be a good one. And then you also have a new, so you talked a little bit about Eva was the first toy that came out, but you have a new one coming out called the Palm.
Yeah.
What does that one do?
Palm is, you can buy it now. It's shipped in like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Or not even. Yeah. And it doesn't have an internal structure. It's five we've made so far. It's has no internal plastic, so it's bendable. So as you kind of push against it, it moves with your body. It also has this like little beak that like nestles in your labia, which I think is really lovely. And yeah.
Yeah, I love how it, you know, it looks really cute. And also, like, I like that it can sort of, it can bend in shape, which is great because with like people who have different hand grips or hand sizes mm-hmm. or things like that, it seems like it can kind of work with that part, like all parts of the body.
It doesn't it doesn't bend and then stay in that position. It kind of flexes with you.
I
but
see.
It is really, it's pretty small. So it, you know, I have very tiny hands. So I'm always like, we need to make it smaller because the experience of comfort and ease of use is highly correlated to just general enjoyment. Yeah, it had over like 1,500 people give feedback in some way on the product as we were developing.
Oh my God, it's like the Instant Pot of vibrators. That's a lot of feedback.
That's
right?
A lot of feedback.
Yeah.
It's a really great. It's a really great tool. I do think those thinking about. Did you mention disabilities or different hand, like just...
Yeah, hand strengths product, and abilities, yeah.
Yeah, our product, Finn, is the, like, I would say the right now the most accessible to hold product mm-hmm. on the market. It has, like, this really great finger grip as well as a strap that goes around your fingers that I think we've gotten such great feedback from people who have a harder time, gripping. And that's been an amazing, feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great to think about that, especially like as we get older and dealing with like arthritis and stuff like that, that we need
I think all tools can empower all, but if you have slightly, you know, tools can be really powerful. I think people with disabilities have always been at the forefront of developing tools and there's
absolutely
a reason for that.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Cool.
Well, awesome. This is fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for spending an hour on Friday and dealing with, we had to juggle a few difficulties, but I think we all figured it out. So no, it's, you know, it happens. I'm probably Mercury's in retrograde, right?
Someday, yeah.
Let me tell everyone how they can get a hold of you. Alfine translates the nuances of our sexualities into human-friendly toys for sex. You should find out more at dameproducts.com. They're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can check out at afinehuman and also at Dame Products. And by the way, this is D-A-M-E, Dame Products, that we've been talking about all hour. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, creator Tristan Taramino, executive producer Karen Dana. Today, A-Rod, the engineer, has been working overtime. Really appreciate your efforts, and everyone else at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show, it'll be available for download. And we will see you next week. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for a new episode. See you then.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.